Blog Talk Radio.
Downloading. Establishing contact. All systems operational.
Welcome to the Forthology Radio Network.
And welcome to this edition of the game. I'm Russ Cullen. We've got Nico Riesgo and Lisa Marie Latino. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Well, let's talk a little baseball. I guess the first thing we'll mention quickly is Lou Piniella sort of having to quit yesterday, and he's got family issues. Apparently his mom's ill, and you can see things are just sort of taking a toll on him, and the club got killed. Feel bad because the guy was a great manager, he's a great player. Sort of a bad way to go out, Nico. But hey, we'll wish Lou happy trails.
Yeah, we will. I didn't hear much about his family problems, but I think he's been having a problem all year long trying to get the Cubs fired up to play ball. I think he just threw his hands up and kind of quit, and definitely not the way you want to end your career.
And a former Yankee, Lisa, so I'm sure you've got some warmth for Lou somewhere.
Yeah, no, of course, and I'm actually pretty shocked that he, you know, couldn't balance. I mean, of course, I understand, but, you know, I'm actually shocked that a warrior like him, like a battler like him, you know, went out this way. So who knows? Maybe, he's saying in this article it's the final act for him, but who knows? Maybe it's not, as we've all known from the Brett Favre situation.
Yes. Now let's talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's actually getting a little bit of buzz on my Facebook page. A guy named William Coley, who comes on and talks to me once in a while, is a big long-suffering Pirates fan. So let's give the long-suffering Pirates fans something to talk about, because ownership recently made a payment of $5.4 million in profit in 2009, and actually in 2008, made a payment of $20.4 million. Now, they're trying to let everybody know what they're making and actually opening up the books, so they say, so this way it doesn't become a big story, because everybody's sort of scratching their head, well, how could the Pirates be making money if they don't really have that many fans showing up and we all thought they were losing money all these years? Well, turns out they have been making money all these years. It's been going down a little bit, and it went from $10 million to $7 million, but depending on how they work the books and everything else. The idea, though, is they're saying, well, nobody's getting paid out of this. They're just sort of getting covered for taxes they might owe for owning the team and everything else. And to be honest, I don't think Pirates fans care. I think what's happening here is that people invested have plenty of money in other areas. So these payments, even if they are to cover potential taxes they might owe, well, guess what? That all came off the sweat of the fans. And basically, all these guys are sort of building equity into the team. So you can see what's going to happen down the line. Down the line, they're going to sell this team, and they're going to make a big profit because they bought it cheap, and they're sort of keeping everything alive, and they're saying they're trying to, you know, preserve the 123-year history. Meanwhile, Nico, they haven't made the playoffs since 1993.
Yeah, they're in bad shape, and it's interesting to see a team actually open up their books, and we don't really know if those are the real books. I mean, for years,
right.
I guess Major League Baseball teams have been criticized for cooking the books a little bit and fudging the numbers. I don't know what to say in this situation. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next labor agreement if everybody decides to open their books and we find out that bottom teams like this, the Pirates, like the Orioles, are still making profits. It goes to show you that teams are more concerned about making money than they are about winning games.
No question. Lisa, how do you think that would hold up if the Pirates were, let's say, the Yankees, and they were sort of operating like this?
Oh, forget about it. I mean, the Pirates are under the radar. I mean, yeah, this is a big top story on MLB.com, and it's huge, but, you know, they're not that upper echelon organization, but I think it's absolutely disgusting. If it was my team, any other team, even if it was the Red Sox, like, I would feel so sorry for their fans. It's just horrible. It's just really horrible. And I'm happy that my ownership, thank God, you know, yeah, they could do a lot of things wrong. They could charge up the wazoo, but they put us first, always, 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 always. The Pirates never put their fans first, and it's a shame.
No. It is, and they have a beautiful ballpark. And the thing is, really the crux of this is they're living off the luxury tax because the system's broken. We all know about that. We're not going to beat that anymore. But the idea is also the Pirates haven't had a 500 team since Bonds and Bonilla left, and that's just disgusting. And if they want to say they're building from down below, well, they've had a lot of years to do it, and they're not doing a good job. So anyhow, that was for all the Pirates fans out there because – believe it or not, they have a lot. I mean, I sat with a bunch of them during the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, and they invited me to a game, and I got to hang out with them the night before and really got to hear about all the frustrations, and it sort of reminded me like when I was a Met fan in the 70s or even now, but really more like in the 70s when they really weren't even going to spend money. So I just, you know, I feel for them, and I hope things change there. Let's talk about something else, Nico, the Steven Strasburg situation. You know, we all thought – that he was ready to come up. We don't know. I mean, the thing is, we didn't know where he was mentally. We didn't know what kind of challenge it would be for him to face 6-7 unbelievable hitters in some of these lineups each and every night. And if you ask me, it seems like the mental toll probably took a physical toll on him, and he probably had to change the way he pitched. Now, only the Pirates were going to know, only the Nationals were going to know how that might affect him. And now it seems like the Nationals are stalling with these MRI results. Because I got to tell you, these MRI results have been pending since like yesterday afternoon. What do you take on this? What's your take on this?
I think he's hurt bad. I think it's serious. I think something's there. And you look at the success that the Reds have had with Leak, starting him off right up the beginning of the season in the big leagues. He didn't have the whole fanfare of the minor league crusade or anything like that. And I think the Nationals made a mistake on putting Strasburg on that circuit. I think that really took more of a toll going from place to place, city to city, getting all the attention and all the fanfare. He should have just started in the big leagues. I think, he wouldn't have that mental stress. He would have been further along by now. And I think he probably would have had more arm treatments, more massages. Mm-hmm. They would have pretty much taken care of him after the games with ice and the proper treatment.
Well, that's been your take all along, so I have to say you're pretty consistent with that. Lisa, what do you think? I mean, so far this could be, you know, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but it's sort of along the same lines as what Jabba Chamberlain went through.
Yeah, but Jabba's problems stem more than that. I mean, we just have to wait and see. I mean, you know, I do take it as a bad sign that they're kind of delaying everything, but they're adamant that he's not going to miss the season. They said that this is an injury that he has had since, you know, when he pitched in college. So, I mean, who knows, but we have to just wait and see what the results say.
Well, I have to just say that worries me if he's had these kinds of injuries before and they should really be looking at his mechanics and actually listening to Nico. They should have listened to Nico from the start, but at least – you know, we'll sort of see where that ends up. Now, Nico, let's talk about some of the pennant races. The Braves, so far I have to say I was right about the Braves. And you know what? In the total end result, I was pretty close about the Mets. I said, yeah, the Nationals might be ahead of them. But right now they've dropped like a stone and they're in fourth place. It looks pretty good for the Braves, even though the Phillies are sort of getting their act together. But the one thing we had talked about was in Cox's final season, if that team has a lead – in the pennant race, he sort of knows how to manipulate that.
Yeah, and they're doing it without Chipper Jones, which is amazing. They lost him, but they just picked up somebody to replace him. Who is that?
They got Derek Lee.
Derek Lee from the Cubs. I think he's going to add a big boost and kind of fill that gap in the lineup. He hadn't had a great year in Chicago, but I think with the winning team, with that atmosphere of winning, I think he's going to plug right in and be a nice piece and a great addition for the Braves in the stretch.
Well, they scored 16 runs yesterday, and Lee had three RBIs, so that's kind of nice for him. Hayward had two homers. I mean, I think people have been overlooking this team, and that's why I sort of have been trumpeting them each and every week, because they've made these minor pickups. They've picked up Rick Ankiel. They went and, you know, they've got Prado at third now, who's a hell of a player. I mean, it's not like we're saying Chipper Jones being out of lineup is a killer, but they actually had a replacement for him. So with all this said, Cox has done a tremendous job of keeping these guys ahead of the Phillies, even with that pitching staff that they've hired, Lisa. I mean, and let's face it, the Phillies have bought most of that pitching staff, and yet they still can't catch the Braves. Maybe
yeah,
we lost Lisa.
Yeah, they can't catch the Braves. And you know what? Oswald is starting to come around, so they got the 1-2 punch with they've got Oswald and Holiday right there. And I think they're going to get the wild card, and I think that's going to be enough to get them into the playoffs.
I agree, and I think it's sort of interesting that we're looking at the wild card race, and the Phillies are two games up on the Cardinals, and they're two games up on the Giants. The Giants seem to be having their issues down the stretch, but the Cardinals are certainly a tough team. And again, if the Reds were to lose hold of first place, then they would certainly be right atop of that mix. So it's not going to be easy for the Phillies. I mean, if they get one injury, if Rollins goes down or Ruiz goes down again, because these guys have been banged up all year and they're still banged up, it could be a problem. They got Ryan Howard back. We'll see. But it's not a guarantee this year, Nico, that the Phillies make the playoffs. It really isn't.
No, it's not. And like I said, it's going to come down to probably the last week of the season. I like their chances, though. I think they've gotten everybody healthy again. They're playing good. This new kid they brought up, Dominique Brown, has got a tremendous amount of potential where he fits in. You know, who knows, but I know he's getting some playing time now, and he's looking pretty good.
All right. Let's see. Lisa, do we have you back?
I've been here, but I haven't gotten
Oh, okay. I just didn't hear you when we asked last time. I wanted to ask you, this has got to be the most boring Yankee season ever, yet they're still in first place holding off the Rays. What's your take on it?
You are 100% right. Boring is the operative word. Things are going to heat up again for us until October. So, you know, what can we say? We're just, you know, fine-tuning. But no, I can't say that everything is boring. I mean, you know, the Java Chamberlain thing, you know, has plagued us all season. Andy Pettit is still out. You know, A.J. Burnett, what happened to him? He may not even make the postseason roster.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
think
kind
about
of crazy.
That. I mean, he's just not been good. Why would we trust him in a big spot?
True. And then you got the A-Rod thing where I have to tell you, I remember when Keith Hernandez's career started to go there, he was getting calf injuries. We see Jimmy Rollins as an older player is getting calf injuries. I've been wrapping my calf, Nico, for every softball game this year because I had a problem during the winter with all that snow. The calf injury, Lisa, is the telltale sign that you're getting old.
Yeah,
a lot of these players are wearing these magnetic bands, too, and kind of give them a little relief on some soreness. I don't know if you've heard too much about them, but
I have. Actually,
like
Nico, we have an article up on cardcornerclub.net because I was at the NBA rookie photo shoot last week and ran into a kid who actually had one of those bands on, and I started discussing it with him. And it was kind of interesting because he was sort of cluing me in on it, And he gave me his take on it, and he said, look, you know, it's sort of all in your head. But it was just one of those things where I felt like, you know what, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. He thinks it'll work, and I guess that's really all that matters. But I thought it was interesting, and I'll get you his name because it was escaping me. It's Gordon Hayward, plays for the Utah Jazz, big kid, and he believes in it, Nico.
Oh, he's the kid out of the little Butler, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, good player, good kid. Has one of those magnetic bands, so he's bought into
hearing,
the craze.
Yeah, I've been hearing so much about it. I mean, tendonitis in the arm is healed. I mean, different soreness things, and it helps with flexibility and strength. A-Rod was quoted on the air the other day that he's a C-prime wear, so, you know, hey, the word is out. I think this is the next best thing here for the athletes.
Well, I'll tell you, the quick wrap gauze, best for me. So I'll keep with that and go old school and not worry about the
We'll get you a magnetic band. We'll get you something to try.
Well, it'd have to be for my calf, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, you put it on your ankle. You could put it on your ankle there. And probably
there you go.
Send
I'll get
more
it for
atoms
my ankle.
Down to the leg there, yeah.
And people will think I'm even more of a weirdo than I am now. Let's talk about, Nico, some of these guys that aren't getting their due around the league. And I'll tell you, even in, like, the Philadelphia market here, I was listening to the radio yesterday and – you know, of course, they're trying to figure out how they're getting into the playoffs, and they're discounting, you know, a lot of these guys on air are discounting a lot of these teams. Like, they're matching up the pitching staffs, and they're like, well, if we go up against the Cardinals, if it comes down to Cole Hamels or Jamie Garcia, you know, I'm going to go Cole Hamels. Well, I got to tell you something. Jamie Garcia pitched a three-hit shutout. He has a 2.42 ERA, and he's 11-6. I'll take Jamie Garcia over Cole Hamels right this moment.
And you know what? He's a lefty, and the Phillies don't fare too well against lefties. So, I think I'd go with you on that one as well, too.
So I think people are sort of overlooking some of these great young pitchers just because they're not big names, but they're coming into their own. And I have to give the Cardinals credit. Not only do they go out and buy players, Lisa, but they produce players all the time. And they even traded Ludwig, and they're still in the race. So it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazing what they've been able to do.
Yeah, so I think you got to give their people credit. Nico, another guy that we've talked about, but we don't talk about him in the sense that he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, Matt Garza. Now, Lisa probably cringed at that because she knows that Matt Garza is sort of keeping the Rays way above water here and keeping them chasing the Yankees only by a game, but he's been incredible.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about the Rays team. The Rays basically have positioned themselves as an elite team in the American League and all of baseball. They just keep doing it year after year. We've seen the consistency over the last, 3 years. They're no joke. I mean, even
you can't be a joke if you're 76. They're 76-48. They can't be a joke.
Yeah. And Leland, I ripped him on our show the last time that he came out a couple weeks ago in the paper saying that the Rays were, just a better team than the Tigers. He wanted to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of managers, after playing the Rays, are starting to feel that. They've got everything. They've got young pitching. They've got young hitting. They've got speed. They've got power.
They have a crappy stadium.
Desire to win.
They're the only ones that have a crappy stadium with a really good team, but I'll tell you, best road record in the league, 37-24 on the road, Lisa. Now, that's a big deal. That means they can come in Yankee Stadium and beat your Yankees at the end of the year. It's possible.
It is possible, and, I mean, I have to admit, I am scared of the Rays, but it's definitely not a slam dunk. Like, it's not a slam dunk that I thought we were going to be at the beginning of the year, but the Rays, Garza, they all scare me. I think we're going to prevail, but they're going to definitely give us a run for their money.
Let me ask you something, Russ. I want to talk about the wild card race here, especially in the American League there. When you're looking at probably the top three teams in the league, you're looking at the Yankees, the Rays, and the Red Sox. By the way, Clay Buchholz is one of those pitchers that probably doesn't get enough recognition.
True.
He's 15-5 this year with an AL Best ERA of 2.26. Just incredible numbers for somebody who nobody even talks about. He's actually dominating this year. He's become the leader of that team. And if they have any chances of getting to the wild card, it's going to be because of him. But what do you do when you've got three of the best teams in baseball in the same division? It would be a shame not to see the Red Sox in the playoffs with nearly a 600% winning percentage.
Yeah, well, Lisa certainly isn't going to cry a river over that. I can't either. I mean, look, it is what it is. What has Tampa done all these years when they were getting their brains beat in? And what's Toronto do? I mean, and Baltimore, forget about Baltimore. I mean, they may never make the playoffs for the next millennium. So it is what it is, I guess, until they do some sort of divisional swap, which they haven't done yet. So, you know, and I'll tell you what, and I'm not in favor of doing that anymore because it's worked out in many different ways. But when I was younger, the Cardinals used to be in the Mets division. They were always a tough team, so the Mets were always fighting the Cardinals. So then it got swapped out, and then the Cardinals moved over, the Braves came over, and then the Braves were always – so there's always going to be somebody that's good, and everybody goes through these 10-year cycles. So there's just nothing Boston can do. They're not going to make it, Nico. I'm sorry.
No, let me ask you this. What would your thoughts be on a showdown, something like a divisional showdown? Say, for example, a division leader like the Twins do not have a better record than the third-place team than the Red Sox. What if there's like a little three-game showdown to see, hey, if the Red Sox can unseat that divisional winner to get to the playoffs? I think that may open up some eyes and be a little interesting.
I'm not against it, except it lengthens the postseason a little, and you'd have to maybe shorten one of the rounds of playoffs. I mean, but otherwise, I'm not against it, because when that does happen, and it happens in baseball and it happens in hockey, and when another team from another division can make it, but yet their record's not good enough, their winning percentage isn't good enough, and maybe it's based on the strength of their schedule and who they're playing and who they're not playing, you make a valid point. But with all that said, I don't think we're going to see that. And teams like the Angels, teams like, you know, even Toronto is ahead of the Angels in the wild card, but they don't stand a chance. They're over 500, which is a good season for them, 64-59, and they don't stand a chance because of the Yankees and Tampa. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you got to give a team like Tampa credit for keeping up with the Joneses. And again, even in the NL, Colorado's got 63 wins, but I don't think anybody gives them a chance. It's just the way it is. You have to, nowadays, you have to just keep your team a certain way. You've got to build more from within. You do have to spend money, or you're not going to make the playoffs. It's really that simple.
Yeah, I think it's up for discussion, though. I think they should really consider it, because the best teams are not going to be in the playoffs, and that's not baseball the way it should be. I think the best teams should represent the playoffs, and I think
They're still playing 162 games, though, so they're still playing the 162, Nico, so you have to believe they're at least pretty close to the best teams, but it's certainly up for debate. I'll give everybody my weekly Met report. You know, thank God they sold Rob Barajas to the Dodgers, but actually, to show you how bad that clubhouse is, Lisa, there was a remark from an unnamed player asking if he could go with Barajas. So that's how motivated the Mets are at this point in time, and the Mets are fine with it. They keep in their lame duck manager, Jerry Manuel, and right now they're at least playing some kids, so there is some positive coming out of it. But Omar Minaya has already been guaranteed his job for next year, but not as GM. It seems like there's talk that maybe he'll move over and be a president, because they don't want to stop paying him and just let him have a free ride.
I understand
because
that. What a disaster. I don't know. There needs to be a movie made about, like, the Mets, just, like, over the past, starting with, 2000, with Willie Randolph and you guys, barely missing the World Series and everything that just happened after that. I don't know what happened. Like, I just cannot believe that Minaya is still part of that organization. I don't know. I feel so, my heart goes out to you. I just can't even believe it. Like,
well, I'll tell you when it all changed. It all changed when Andy Chavez made his catch in the 2006 NLCS. That's when it all changed, because everybody saw that catch, and they were like, oh, my God, okay, now we could beat the Cardinals. Cardinals come back. They win that game. They win the World Series, and it's never been the same for the Mets. Then they started their choking and everything else, and right now they've basically been an embarrassment for the last couple of seasons, no matter how much money they spend. So Nico, that's when it all turned on a dime. Andy Chavez made that catch. We were all like, oh, my God, what a great catch. Now we can make it to the World Series. And then they didn't make it to the World Series, and all their fortunes changed.
They did. Now, I think the next year they traded him, didn't they?
Yep. They did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was it. They lost their magic player. And they haven't been the same. And then they've also, like I said, they've had their injuries. I think they stayed a little bit too long with Delgado, Beltran. And, I mean, they just put their hopes in players that were injury-prone. One of the bright stories of the year is this R.A. Dickey guy. I mean, when they first called him up, I thought there was no way this guy was going to be able to play in the big leagues with his 78-mile knuckleball. But he is baffle hitters all year long. And he's been probably the most consistent starter and really a pleasant surprise for the future.
He has been, and that's been one of the few good signings from Omar Minaya. I think the interesting thing about Dickey, Nico, is that while he throws a knuckler, he throws about 87 to 90 on a fastball, which most knuckleball pitchers don't do. Tim Wakefield hadn't been able to do that. So I think the disparity in speed is really what has thrown people off, and it's thrown the best hitters in the league off. I mean, he's made them look bad. So we'll see. I mean, they certainly have to keep him, but Lisa, it's been very difficult, and everybody's had a good laugh at the Mets' expense this year, and they've been in the papers a lot, just not for the right reasons.
Everybody's been laughing at the Mets, not just for this season, but over the past few seasons, Because a lot of it, you just can't make up. And, I don't know. Do you have to trade Reyes to just, start from scratch? I mean, do you put that to him in the right? Even Wright. I mean, everyone anointed him as, the next coming of Derek Jeter in New York. And, I mean, as a Mets fan, do you feel Wright has been disappointing overall?
Yeah, Wright's been disappointing, especially in the field. It's his worst fielding year ever. I put up an article about a week ago where he's hitting .203 late in games with men on base in clutch situations. So, and that's a horrific stat. So, yeah, he's been very disappointing. I don't think they can get rid of Reyes, Lisa, because the simple fact is there are no shortstops in the league and nobody in the system that could even come close to even what he's doing, even though it's not the same. So you can't replace him.
Yeah, I was just, saying, that's been the buzz around here, trade Reyes to, just start from scratch, make the other players aware that, they're not playing around, but, times are changing. But I don't know what you guys are going to do. But whatever nucleus you have right now, it's not working, and it hasn't been working for a long time.
I agree. I think they need to move out Beltran. Angel Pagan has certainly earned a spot on the team. Move out Beltran. Move out that salary. Let him rehab somewhere else and maybe rediscover his career. And I think that might be a move in the right direction. It wouldn't shock me if Beltran was the player that said, hey, can you take me too? But I don't know who it was. I just think it's funny that that's what the mental approach is on that team. But, Nico, we got a couple minutes left. We want to mention to people they could, buy the book, The Game. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on Barnes & Noble. They can get it on the iPad. So it's certainly out there. You could order, a bound copy, or you could order a digital copy. We also want to mention, Lisa, you've been everywhere. Give a quick synopsis of where In the Zone has been going. And, geez.
Yeah, I don't even know. But just check out my website for my production company, longshotproductions.tv. We have some pilots in the works. I've been really involved with, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but WFAN Radio, they're doing some sort of an American Idol type contest where...
I've been aware, yeah.
Yeah, well, where people can try out for a year-long contract with the station to have their own two-hour show on a weekly basis for a year. So, my production company has been really busy with that. It's called the Fantasy Phenom Challenge, and the finals are actually this Friday. So if you're down the shore and you feel like playing hooky from work, down at Bar A in Belmar, New Jersey, and the five finalists will be taking the stage individually with the one and only Mike Francesa. And, we're going to be recording that alongside Yes Network for the WFAN website, and then fans are going to be able to vote for their favorite, and that person will win the grand prize, which is a great grand prize. Wouldn't you love that opportunity, Russ and Nico?
Sure.
I'd love it.
No question. No question. Hopefully Mike's nice to these guys.
I don't know. I think it's going to be hysterical. It's definitely going to be a comedy act because he's not going to go easy on them. But you say, as he shouldn't, though. I mean, these guys are, just basically coming off the street. Mike's got to break them in a little bit. So.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and it is a tough job, and it's a tough world out there. Nico, tell everybody about MLPO.org. You got about 40 seconds.
Yeah, visit us online, www.mlpo.org. One of the big stories coming out, we just partnered with C Prime. C Prime offers the Escalade of the magnetic bands. I actually have one myself. They come in various different colors.
But you're retired. How does that help you?
It helps me because all retired players have a lot of soreness. I mean, we walk around with soreness. We wake up in the morning, and we definitely feel the 18 years of playing the game. And, I wear it, and I'm actually feeling a little bit of comfort. And
good enough to come out of retirement?
doing the Jose Canseco thing. I'm just getting ready to call Laredo today and see if I get on that roster. I think I got a few more homers in me, but I think more so I'm on the manager side. So I'm looking for that job in New York or the GM side. Whatever I can do to lead a team, I think I've got the mentality to win, and I think I can inspire and encourage a lot of young players to get out there
after. Good deal. Check out MOPO.org. Check out the game. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Russ.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Liz.
See ya.